to prepare a place for us. Ain't you glad he said that this morning? Amen. Brother, we're just pilgrims down here. We're just passing through this old sin-cursed world. But, brother, we're going home one day. Amen. I'm going away to prepare you a country when Jesus was leaving. That's just what he said. And just as I'm going, you'll see me turning when I'm finished building God's promised land. In God's promised land, the sun's always shining. Redeemed ones are singing there, and they're praising the Lamb. Such great jubilation has never been witnessed to one of God's children sees God's promised land. No harsh words are spoken, no hearts there are broken. There's no troubles nor trials there in that land to steal away smiles. Only peace and contentment can abide in that country where my Jesus has promised. We'll go after while in God's promised land. The sun's always shining. Redeemed ones are singing there and praising the great jubilation has never been witnessed to one of God's children sees God's promised land. Soon all of God's children will see God's promised land.
Amen. Lord, that's amen, y'all. Well, that's good. Thank you, brother. Enjoyed that this morning. Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Psalms, chapter 85. And I want to read a verse of scripture here this morning. Psalm 85. Very, very unusual for what I want to preach about this morning, but I want to preach about revival. Revival. You say, preacher, we're not having revival. Well, we ought to be. We ought to be. And revival don't mean that you have a series of services for a week, although we all love that. Revival means just coming back to life. Look at Psalm 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again? You know that song, don't you? Revive us again. That thy people may rejoice in thee. The Lord said there, David said, the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again? You know why he said that? Because revivals wear off. Salvation does not. One dose of salvation will do you from now on. But a revival, you have to have them again and again and again. I've heard people even criticize people, especially young people. When they say, oh, I've seen them young people get them fired up like that. It don't last. And revivals don't always. Revivals, like a bath. You take a bath, you get dirty again. You take another bath, you get dirty again. You take another bath. That's why we come to church every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, because you get dirty out there in this world. It rubs off on us. So I'm glad we can come to God's house and get cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad there's a place where we can come and get revived and refreshed again. I'm glad there's a place we can come when somebody can hook up the spiritual jumper cables to our soul and hit you like that, you know. And boy, you get fired up and say, yes, sir, I'm ready to go another mile. I'm ready to pray again. I'm ready to read my Bible again. That's what church is for, is a place for us to get revived. The church is not a club for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. And that we as God's people might get revived again. So I want to preach this morning on the kind of revival that we need. What kind of revival do we need this morning? You know, there was a time in this world when the light of the world, spiritually speaking, was in Germany. Back in the days of the Reformation, when Martin Luther came out in the 1500s, he began to preach, and great revival broke out around that part of the world. Germany was landlocked, and so that country's all the way around it, so it wouldn't go out by sea, but it went into those other countries. And you know what the devil did? The devil went to work on Germany. And if you went to Germany tonight, or today, I've been to Germany. It's a godless country. The devil did a good job of putting his foot on the revival fires and putting them out. They're walking around with purple hair and all stuff stuck, nails drove through their ears and nose and everything else. And it's a God-forsaken land in Germany. Then the gospel of the light of the world was in England. There was a time when England wasn't landlocked. And the gospel went to the ends of the earth as preached from the country of England. England had the light of the world, spiritually speaking. And the devil went to work on England. And the devil done everything he could to put his foot on the fire in England, and he did a good job of putting it out. England has very little gospel fire anymore. For the most part, England is heathen and doesn't put out the gospel. Do you know where the gospel light is in the world today? It is in the southeastern United States of America. What me and you call the Bible Belt. And there's 80% of the missionaries in the world are supported from America. 80% of the money going to missions in the world come from America, and the biggest part of it from our part of the country. And the devil is doing everything he can to put the fire out right here at home. I've never seen a time in my life when churches are dying, literally dying. There's churches all over this country where if something don't change in another 10 or 15, 20 years, we'll shut the doors or just let a contemporary group come and take over it. I was talking to a man the other day, right here in this town. He said, Danny, he said, our congregation is dying. He said, back in Father's Day, back in June, he said they had all the fathers stand up, and he said the youngest father in our church was 55. The youngest father. He said somebody brought a visitor that day, and he was a little younger, but the youngest father in our church was 55. He said, I'm not talking about the youngest daddy in our church. That meant the young couples in the church was in their late 50s. I'm telling you this morning, we are in need of revival. We are in need of revival, folks. If there's ever been a time when we need a revival, it's now. I'm not talking about Sinai Baptist Church. I'm talking about our city, our state, our country. We need revival. We need God to do something in our hearts once again, as He did in the days of old. Somebody said, preacher, we're doing fine. No, we're not. I'll show you that this morning. I want to say four things about it this morning. And the first thing I want to say is that we need a revival that'll straighten out our heads. We need a revival that'll straighten out our head. People don't think straight anymore. We don't think biblically. All we think about is the world and if we are going to prosper in this world or make a name for ourselves in this world. I realize this morning we have to work. We have to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. There is a big difference. You can be in the world, but not of the world. You cannot get away from it, but you don't have to be a part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to make up our mind that we'll not be in a part of this world. I think Brother Mike covered it in Sunday school about us getting along. I mean, people, we are so nice to everybody at work and hateful to our brothers and sisters at church. There's something wrong with that kind of attitude. We're so nice to the boss at work and so unnice, we might say, to our own family, our own husbands and wives. Ain't that? Heard about a man and his wife. They was mad at each other like a lot of times get sometimes. And is driving down the road and won't speak. You know how you get mad and neither one of you will speak? You know what I mean? Look up here at me now. I'm not giving in. Well, I sure ain't. Well, it's not my fault. Well, it sure ain't mine. You know how you do. And you go down the road and wouldn't speak. And they drove for miles and miles and miles. Neither one of them would humble herself and speak. And it's right. And finally, they saw a bunch of old donkeys, I'll say right use of the word, and out here on the field like this. And finally, the husband or the wife looked over and said, "Relatives of yours?" And that's all I said. Spoke in 2 hours. And then he just looked at her back there and said, "Yep, it's my in-laws." and that's the shape we're in today. You know what makes us mean and hateful each other? We need to get our heart right. We need to get our heart right with God. Amen? Listen, now, we don't always agree. You ain't going to agree with your husband and wife on everything. You ain't going to agree with the preacher on everything. You ain't going to agree with people. But you know what makes us mean and hateful? The devil. If you get your heart right, we don't have to be that way to each other. Amen? That's right. We don't have to be like that. It don't need to be that way. It don't have to be that way. It should not be that way. We need to make up our mind we're not going to live like that. Amen? I was thinking the other day I'd heard these dumb criminals. And once in a while I read an article about the world's dumbest criminal. I'm telling you, buddy, there's some people out there that don't need to be in no life of crime. I heard about a woman. A cop stopped her. She was weaving all over the road like this. And the cop stopped her and said, "Come on out here, ma'am." He said, "I want to see you walk that straight line right there." And she was like this, you know, and going like that. And he said, "Ma'am, I want to see you walk that straight line." She said, "Well, take it easy on me, officer. It's hard for me. I've been drinking." Dumb criminal. Listen, that shows how dumb people are. Have you ever known more people that knows more stuff that we have now, but yet the dumbest people you ever met in your life? I'm telling you what, I heard about this boy, he's 20 years old, and he broke in a convenience store, and he broke in this store, and he got himself locked in, couldn't get out, and he got scared, he called the cops. I got on the store phone and called 911 so the cops could come and get him out. If you'll steal from a convenience store, I'm telling you, you say, "Well, how dumb can you get?" Well, I know somebody dumber than that. I know people dumber than that. I know a man dumber than that. He said, "I ain't paying my tithes." He said, I need that money." Listen, you'd be better off steal convenience store than you would be to steal your tithe money from God. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying that because the Bible says that we rob. You want to be the world's dumbest criminal? I mean, Think about this. What if a cop was standing in a convenience store and you walked in there and the cop's standing right there watching you and you have a gun and say, give me all the money in it. Well, that's crazy. That's crazy. And if you know, when we pass these offering plates, God is watching. He's watching you. And if you hold back that money, are you crazy? That's the world's dumbest criminal. He's got you. You say, well, what's he? Hey, listen, he controls your life. He gives you health to work every day. He gives you breath that you breathe every day. He lets your kids be safe. He lets your parents be safe. He gives you that house to live in. He keeps your vehicle running so you'll have a way to work. He's in charge of all that. If you're going to steal, don't steal from him. We need a revival. You know what I found out about people? When people's heart's right with God, they don't have no trouble giving what they're supposed to. I know I got on this last Sunday morning. I never do it two Sundays in a row. But I'm telling you, you don't have no trouble when your heart's right. When your heart's right, you're ready to give it glory to God. Amen. Put it in there. But if you're sitting there this morning saying, I don't agree. He's just meddling here. I know what your problem is. You're guilty. You're guilty and don't want to admit it. And you get mad at me. It ain't my fault. Listen, brother, we need a revival that'll straighten our heads out. Say amen right there. You don't have to worry about your giving when you're right with God. You won't have to worry about being nice to your wife. You won't have to worry about being nice to your husband. You won't have to worry about being nice. Hey, John, listen, an old grouchy, smart-aleck spirit is not from God. It's not from God. It's from the devil. Ain't that right? I see some of you ladies going, yeah. Get him, preacher. Well, I may or not mean to get you. I don't know. I don't know. I ain't trying to get in your business or nothing. But it's amazing how nice we can be to everybody else and how hateful we can be to our mate or how hateful we can be to our own kids. Our kids scared to move around and so they will bite their head off and company walk in the door and we just eat them. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Just hypocrite. But I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we are needing a revival. I heard about a church the other day, had a business meeting with a pastor, and a bunch of them, the deacons was mad at him, and they said right here, they said, you get out of here, and they was almost ready to fight, and the pastor said, all right, I'll get out, and walked out, and he walked out, and they threw his Bible out the door at him as he left the building. These are Christian people. We wonder why people don't get saved in most churches. I know one not far from here where they had a business meeting the other night and were calling each other names. Bad names. Christian people. Now look at me, people. Listen, we don't suddenly just get spiritual when we walk in here. You ain't a bit more spiritual in here this morning than you was at home last night. We don't transform into little angels when we walk in them doors. If we're not right at home, we're not going to be right when we get here. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying God will get a hold of us this morning, that a bunch of people in here this morning will get a burden and you'll go home and pray. I'm asking everybody in here that will. You care about church, you care about your family, you care about revival, you care about souls. I want to go home and pray this evening and come back in here tonight and see God do something with a tab family. Listen, we need revival! We need revival that'll straighten out our heads. Amen. Number two, we need a revival that will saturate our hearts. I heard Ralph Sexton tell some time ago, he said he was on an airplane coming from Florida or somewhere, and he said there was a woman sitting up in front of him, and you know the stewardess, then, they don't now, they give you something to eat on a plane. They might give you a pack of crackers or something now, but she come back through there and said, ma'am, would you like a sandwich? Sir, would you like a sandwich? What would you like to drink? Something like that. And he said, that stewardess offered this woman a sandwich, and she looked back to the steward and said, no thank you, I'm praying and fasting. And Brother Ralph said, that made such an impression on me. He said, it had been a long time since I'd heard anybody say, he said, you just don't hear people say that. And he said, I leaned up and punched her on the shoulder, and she said, yes. And he said, ma'am, I just want you to know that I appreciate what you said. He said, that meant the world to me. I'm a preacher. It's so nice to know that there's people out here praying and fasting. And she looked back at him and she said, I ain't a Christian. She said, I don't even believe that stuff y'all believe. She said, I'm a Wiccan. Witchcraft Incorporated Churches of America. And she said, our priests have called on us to pray and fast that the devil will destroy all the homes of these, quote, fundamental preachers. She said, we're praying demon spirit will go cause their kids to rebel and their wives to leave them and tear their home up. And Brother Ralph said, I sat back in my seat and I thought, dear God, we're feasting and playing when we ought to be fasting and praying that God will protect their kids, and the devil's crowd out there praying that God will bless their albums and their CDs so they'll get in the heart of our boys and girls. I'm telling you this morning, we need a revival that'll straighten and saturate our hearts this morning. How long has it been since God got real to you and the Lord blessed you and you raised your hands and shouted and said, I love you, Jesus? How long has it been since you really had a revival? If you're not careful, you'll let hurt feelings and you'll let discouragement and you'll let stuff just get you hard as a brick so God can't bless you. You have to work at it. You have to work at it. I'm telling you, we need a revival that'll saturate our hearts. Jealousy. Pride. Thinking you're better than other people. Listen, when I seen our buses roll in this morning, but listen, the devil, you think the devil ain't fighting? Son, he fought our bus ministry. Oh my goodness, this week like crazy and all that. And here they come rolling in this morning. It's the mighty hand of God that's got protecting them buses. The Lord believes in them bus kids. The Lord believes in them. I believe in them. I know a lot of them run around here between y'all. They don't hear a word I say. But yeah, that one little one does. That one does. And that one little child hears the Word of God. And that child gets right with God and gets saved. And by the grace of God, that child becomes a great Christian. I'm telling you, we need a revival that'll saturate our hearts. We need a revival that'll do something in our hearts. You know what we need to do? Get right with God in our hearts. In our hearts. See, when I'm right with God in my heart, it's easy for me to pray. It's easy for me to read the Bible. It's easy for me to get down. But when my heart's hard and you just got everything on the outwardly right, you know, I got on a suit and tie and I shake hands and all that. You can do all that and your heart be just as backslid as a devil. You can be here this morning and be all nice dressed up and your hair fixed and you smell like shampoo and I mean, you got on a nice dress and high heels and no telling what, but your heart can be as cold as that thing right there. We need revival. We need to pray that God will send revival that'll soften our hearts toward God. God's work once again. Number three, we need a revival that'll sanctify our habits. We need a revival that'll sanctify our habits. When somebody wants to argue all the time about what's right and wrong, you know one thing for sure, they're not right. When you're right with God, you automatically want to do what's right. I can tell when I'm backslid. I can tell when I'm getting backslid. You start fudging a little bit. You start thinking, that ain't so bad. Ain't that right? Oh, you're going, I ain't that bad. And boy, you get close to the Lord, seem like everything's sin. I mean, the closer you get to God, it's like this. It's like these lights in here. We can dim these lights in here, and if you dimmed them real dim, you'd look in here and you'd say, boy, this church is, Lord have mercy, it's spotless. There ain't a bit of dirt in here. But the more you turn them lights up, you start seeing a rip there in the carpet. You start seeing dirt on the pew. You start seeing little, well, you know, and that's the way life is. When you're about half backslid, you don't see nothing wrong. Everything seems all right. Any movie's all right to watch. Any place is all right to go. A little this all right. A little that's all right. They'll hear a little there, a little there. But boy, when that light comes on, man, it shines on. Everything you see is wrong. And it seemed like, boy, everything. You remember when you first got saved and you went back out in the world, how wicked everything looked? That's the way it is when you're right with God. And they, listen, brother, it's hard to stay like that. I'm a preacher. I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, here at Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday and Saturday's on 2 days I ain't preached since last Saturday. And I fight the devil every day of my life. Every day I wake up, it just feels like the devil just hit. I've had people tell me, they say, Brother Danny, I've never had such a fight in my life. I had a preacher tell me the other day, he said, Brother Danny, he said, I have a decent crowd on Sunday morning. I cannot get people to come back Sunday night. He said, Brother Danny, what do you do? What do you do? I said, Brother, we need to pray that once again, old time power and fire, we are not bringing a rock band in here. What's the use in doing that? You know better than that. We need God to get a hold of our hearts and sanctify our habits once again. They said that 65% of adults now spend more time on a computer than they do with their family. With their kids and their family. 65%. I heard about this woman. She's shopping one day and she pushed her groceries up in the, she's checking out, you know. And she's getting her out pocketbook and there's a checkbook and laid this out and laid that out and had remote control. And this woman said, and she said, oh, I see you accidentally brought your remote. She said, no, this is not an accident. She said, me and my husband had a fight, and this is the best way I know to punish him. He went home about to die because he got to get up and change the channel. You know, where he went that remote. Ain't that sad? Isn't that sad? I told somebody yesterday, I said, our generation's going to be about half retarded, but they sure going to have some healthy thumbs. You know it? Son, they're going to have the healthiest thumbs of any generation that's ever been on planet Earth. There's nobody ever had healthier thumbs than this generation had. Their IQ's about 40, and they think biscuits grow on a biscuit bush, and they couldn't boil hot water, but boy, they can work them thumbs, let me tell you. They're going to be blind in about 10 years, but their thumbs are going to be in good shape. You'll never have to worry about them getting arthritis, them thumbs. They'll go 100 miles an hour. I think this one girl, she was doing like this, and she was talking to and texting while she was talking. Her thumb was, my thumb won't even do that. It was going like a woodpecker. One thumb. And she's talking at the same time. Listen, we need a revival. One that'll sanctify our habits. One that'll saturate our hearts. One that'll straighten out our heads. Brother, one that'll get us back in God's house. One that'll make us love Jesus again. One that'll make us say, the Lord's been good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One that'll make us go down the road singing Christian music. One that'll make us go down the road putting a Christian CD in our CD player. One that'll make us say, you know what? My hope ain't down here. It's over there. I've got something better over yonder I got down here. That's what kind of revival. You remember when you felt like that? You say, what are you screaming and hollering about? What are they screaming and hollering about a ball game? What are they screaming and hollering about a racetrack? They're excited about it. That's why. These hypocrites don't believe preachers are supposed to holler and go to a ball game. They scream and holler their ears out. They're hypocrites. Number four. We need a revival that'll satisfy our homes. Satisfy our homes. You know, a child, this thing right here is a good illustration of a child. When it comes into the world, let's just say it's already bent. That'll be That'll be your left. It's already bent that way toward the world. Naturally. And the more influence you have on it, you can shape. My daddy used to come up to the house once in a while. And he'd take a little old tree about that big and he'd bend it over like that and hook it to another tree. And I'd say, Daddy, why'd you do that? And he'd say, well, it'll grow like that and the girls have a swing one of these days. He said, they'll have a swing right there. And I thought, Lord, it ain't that big around. They'll be 50 years old time they can swing on that. And it still ain't big enough yet from the swing on. But I think we finally cut that one down. But anyway, he'd bend them. That's the way your kids are, people. Your kids can be bent. Every parent, listen to me, your kids are bent one way or the other. And the way a tree's bent, that if that was a tree, it'd keep growing that way, keep growing that way. If it's bent like this, it'd keep growing that way. Let me tell you something. Don't get mad at me. I love you. I'm trying to help you. I'm your preacher. Preacher, don't try to help you. Ain't worth a dime. If I got up here and told y'all how wonderful everything is and how great y'all are and everything, you ought to fire me. Everything ain't wonderful. Everything ain't good. We're in trouble. Listen to this. You been that kid that way? Give you an example. When I was young, I grew up in Nebo school up there, a little school in Nebo. We didn't have many students and everything. And I grew up, and you know what? Kids are impressionable. And I grew up, I played baseball and stuff like that, like every kid does when I was little. When I got about in the seventh grade, my sister was on the basketball team, my oldest sister, Sandy. She was 3 years older than me. So she was in the ninth, I guess I was in about the sixth. I went to a basketball game. And I seen boys in high school come down that floor and everything and play ball. And I heard everybody cheering and everything. And I thought, wow, that's exciting. Man, that ball game excited me. And I remember thinking, I want to do that. And I'm too little, but I went out and I practiced. And I practiced. And I practiced. I've told you before, there's been a lot of times I'd come home from school. We had a basketball court down in front of Mom's house. I laid down my books, picked up a ball, didn't even go in the house, and shot basketball till it got dark. And I'd make, and I mean roofs and the court was crooked and everything else. You learn to adjust. If it's higher over here, you adjust. Wind's blowing, you adjust. You know, for the wind. And I remember doing that. And then I started going to more ball games. I thought, man, that's what I want to do. 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 And of course, I did it. And I played basketball all the way through high school. We won our county championship in my 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. I got the most valuable player trophy my 12th grade year. And I still, I love it. I love basketball. Y'all, some of y'all think I'm crazy. You don't see it. I don't see what you get in some of them weird games you play. But I just like it. I've always liked it. But you know what? I know when I was little, if they'd have took me somewhere else where they was playing football, I might have been a big football player. You might have seen me one, but I wouldn't beat my kids with my wife. But I'd be a football player. Amen. And you know what? I would do that. But you know what? I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying kids are going to go how you parents bend them. And I will give you parents some advice this morning. There's nothing wrong with them playing sports. I play what good. It's good for you actually. It's in a lot of ways. But you better push them kids toward old-fashioned Bible preaching and get them in good preaching services because it'll bend them. Sir. If I'd have got in some good church services when I was young, it might have kept me out of some trouble I got into when I was 15, 16. I got saved when I was 18. And that's because of my mama. My mom preached us the whole time. That's why I'm telling you mamas, your job's so important. Mom get us down and she preached us and we couldn't even go to church. We only had a car. We didn't have a car for when I was real little. And then we had one car and Daddy is gone with it, so we didn't have a way. Mom didn't have a way to go get groceries. She'd call her brother and he'd come get groceries and the store there in Nebo, my uncle owned it, and we'd charge the groceries and bring them home and we'd eat. But I got to thinking, if Mom hadn't pushed me, now, Paul, I don't want to hurt your feelings and make you mad. I love you. But if all your kids see is your mama getting up every morning dolling all up and got her jeans spray painted on her and fixed up like some kind of Hollywood hussy bouncing down the road listening to some country music adultery song, your kids are going to be pushed the wrong way. If all they see is their daddy cussing and lying and cheating and stealing and drinking and cheating, they're going to be pussed. They're going to be bent that way. And the bad thing about it, your kids go worse than you do. What you do in moderation, they'll do in excess. Once again, what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. You better bend them. We need a revival that'll satisfy our home. Every kid in here is a target of the devil. I heard about a story really happened years ago back when they had them old cheap, real cheap motels. They still got a few of them, but they ain't like they used to. Used to, you'd get a motel for $8, $10. Motel 6, that's where that started. Motel 8, that's how it started. And They ought to call them Motel 70 now. But anyway, on their way to Florida, man, woman, little kid, and they got down there and they stopped at an old cheap motel. Just paid about $8 for it. Nasty old place. And they said, we're going to stay here tonight. And the kid was crying. And they always put the kid in the closet at home. So they opened that closet door and kicked that kid in there and said, shut up. You ain't coming out till you shut up. And they partied all night and got drunk. And the kid bawled and screamed, hollered. And the next morning they sobered up, come to. And they opened up that closet and that kid was laying there dead on the floor. And there's about a 6-foot rattlesnake crawled up over there in that corner. It was hollering and screaming while that snake was hitting it like that. And you say, boy, somebody ought to do something like that, ought to be put in jail. That's right. But you know what? If you turn that kid loose with pornography on your computer or on your phone, it's worse than a 6-foot rattlesnake being in your house. It's the devil. We need a revival. You know where it's going to have to start? It's going to start with you daddies. You're responsible for your home. You're going to answer to God for what your wife and kids are spiritually. Start with you daddies and mamas. Most places I go preach, it's about 3/4 women in the church. Thank God for them. Where's the men? Where's the men? Where's the men? That's what we need. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home this evening and I'm going to get down somewhere and I'm going to pray that God will send us revival here tonight. Will you do that? I wonder, could y'all do one Sunday evening? Would it kill you to maybe just get in the prayer closet and stay an hour and let's pray for the service tonight? Let's do that. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. No.